This is a Praxis podcast. Hello, and welcome back to another excerpt from our conversations with the participants in R24 Held Experiments in Touch. My name is Kevin Leander Fiabema, and today we're bringing you something of an immersive look at some of the ideas explored in the residency. In the previous episode, we had conversations between some of the residents, but this time we are presenting two different exercises that were recorded at the end of the residency. First, you'll hear a recreation of an exercise from the residency with the blindfolded touching and handling of objects. Following that, there is a guided experiment in touch, an interactive opportunity to experiment with touch, if you will. This episode is particularly better suited to listening with headphones.
Okay, so now I give you a domestic object to touch. And you can guess what it is. You can describe how it feels to touch it.
Yeah, I think it's like a bit roughness, and I can see it's very, it has like you know, holes on both sides. I think this is what you call lentilo when you scrape your body,
a scrub.
Yeah, isn't it
it could have been, but it's not that.
Yeah, but like it has some roughness.
Yeah.
Some little pokey, you know. Is it for the hair? Do you use it for hair? Is it curls?
No. No.
I don't know. But I think, what is this?
So now you're
touching. Can you prompt me? Prompt me, where do you use it?
When you want to paint.
Oh, so it's a paint brusher.
A roller,
and I think it has a bit of paint, so that's why maybe it's a bit dry, the paint dried up. So it has some roughness, it's like a smooth, but some roughness. So
so it's, you can look now.
Yes, it is a paint roller, and
it's dried and it's dried up. So you can't use it anymore because it's too stiff. Because I let the yellow paint just dry in it, and I was thinking maybe I use it as a sculpture, a part of a sculpture later. So I had one more here.
Yeah, I see there's some little bubbles, and yeah, it is very rough though, eh?
Mm.
I was almost close into guessing this. Almost.
Okay, get one more thing.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, put it in your hands now.
What is this? I don't know it in English well. I know it in Zulu. It's like we fara la ikhanda, you know, and it massages your head.
Yeah, you guessed it.
It is right, eh?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, it is pokey and like, you know, it's smooth and curvy, like some spikes like this.
Mm.
Like almost a comb. But yeah, we fara la ikhanda, and then it does this, it massages ikhanda lakho, it massages your head. Yeah. Yes!
Yes. So it makes it.
So I had to describe it in Zulu, but yeah, it's for massaging the head, right? What is it called in English?
I think you just call it a head massager.
A head massager.
Mm. So I was right, good to see, umasacha ikhanda, you know, in Zulu is like you massage the head with. Just a direct translation. Okay.
Okay, and now it's a art sculpture you're touching.
Okay.
Try to guess the materials and the form, the shape.
So it's like smooth. A bit smooth. A little bit of some lightness, it's very light. And I don't know, it's like some little blocky bubbles, like here, and I think it's made of plastic.
Yeah, partly.
Polystyrene, what is it called? This plastic that creates this icky sound, like you know, the sound is like this icky sound. Different forms, I think. Yeah, it has like different forms and shapes. Yeah, but it's smooth, light, little particles or bubbles around.
Mm-hmm. So it's made by three different materials.
Oh, yes, this is true. I agree.
Which three materials are you guessing?
Okay, so there's a bit of like plastic or polystyrene plastic.
Yeah, it's expandable foam, like building foam.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, this part there, what's that?
I don't know, isn't it... Dry clay? No glue?
No. I actually melted a plastic toy with flames. There. But it's one more material.
Oh no. Okay, so the last one, where is it?
Let me... There. Now we touch it with this
one. Yeah.
There.
I can just describe that, like, yeah, it is a bit... pokey. I don't know, all I can just say, it feels so light and so gentle, you know, so this smoothness and this elastic, that's all I know, but it's just a nice feeling just to touch it. What is this other, I don't know, please tell me.
Yeah. It's this leftover plastic from a hospital.
Oh.
So they use it instead of plaster if you have broken an arm. They can nowadays dip this plastic in hot water and form it around your broken arm. Because when you dip it in water, you can shape it. And when it dries, it stiffens in the shape you have shaped it in when it was hot in this hot water.
Mm.
So you can look at
interesting. I was never gonna be able to guess this thing.
That's a very abstract form, maybe like
it is abstract.
Lump, but I actually used it as in this installation as like alien food. I was like imagining alien with ETs.
It's definitely alien.
Yeah.
With all forms or stuff that you use there.
Yeah.
It is definitely alien. But yeah, it looks appetizing with the playing of the color, orange, green, brown. So yeah, it looks kind of like yummy.
Yeah.
Yummy alien food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it's the last object.
Okay. I'm ready. Bit heavy, there's a bit of weight here.
Yeah.
Is it like a stone? No?
In a way, but it's not stone.
What is this?
It's also a art sculpture.
Yeah, it is. Okay, let me choose.
It's a mold of something.
Oh. Well, I can say that it has a bit of weight, like, you know, I can feel like a bit of weight, and it is breakable. I think if I had to if I drop it, it will break.
Yes.
So it's made of something concrete or stone.
It's made of plaster.
Plaster?
Yeah. Huh. It's white powder that you blend with water and then it stiffens. It's like nearly concrete, but it's more breakable than concrete.
So yeah, it is like just an art sculpture, but I can't tell what it is. But I get a sense that, yeah, you can use it to decorate.
But it have a back side, so how does the back side feel compared to the front side?
It's very really smooth. Mm. It's like some rough, like hard little... Yeah, definitely. It is like, you know, a sculpture, an art piece that is breakable.
Mm.
And as you're saying, that it is not stone, but like, you know, the, like concrete or something. I don't know how to phrase it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the back, it's smooth. So I think I could see that you can just either place it like this, like hang it, or just like, you know, put it like this, but like it is a bit heavy and it is fragile, like we just pick up that it is a fragile thing, you know.
Mm.
So you have to handle really with care.
Yeah,
but unfortunately I can't guess what it is.
You can open your eyes if you want.
So, but I was right though, that it's, is it gold?
It's gold glitter on it.
Gold glitter. So I was... What was the inspiration around this?
It was also for the same installation with alien food. So it was an alien cake.
Oh, so yeah, that makes sense then.
So it was plaster that I filled in this food container. For me, it looks like a jelly cake, but it's actually stiff. But if you see it in a theater play, for example, you maybe would assume it's a jelly cake. So it's painted in this neon orange colors with glitter on.
Yeah, I think I like it. It is interesting, like, the different like types of touch that I'd experience with my eyes closed. It's interesting because you could feel the different texture. You know, if it's something's light, it's gentle. If it's heavy... But yeah, like, touch is just a different form. You just gotta be able to try and really feel and sense. And sometimes, you know, guessing the forms of touch, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you bring our bodies closer?
Great.
So I think what we're going to try to do is, we've had so many different work. It's been two workshops a day plus different talks and experiences, but we're going to dip into just a few tools.
Mm-hmm.
And we're two of us here. We're going to try them out with each other and then guide the listener through. So you're welcome to listen and try some of these things we're doing.
We're going to move through some different qualities of touch, and within that also talking about the ways in which we are giving touch either to ourselves or to the other, and also from where or from who we experience that within our workshops during this residency.
Yeah, and you're welcome to try this on your own body. If you don't feel comfortable touching your body, or you're somewhere you're not comfortable doing that, you can also close your eyes and imagine. And if you're somewhere with someone who you'd like to try this with, that's also a possibility too. And the first one was introduced to us by Olive Biringa and Otto Ramstad. Together they're body cartography, and Olive Biringa is also part of Praxis with an X. There are ally organization that's been supporting us.
Mm-hmm.
And Olive and Otto, after we did these wonderful movement exercises, really getting into the body, moved us into this encounter with cellular touch, the surface of the touch, the muscles, the bones,
mm-hmm.
really as a way to find a curious touch with a partner that bypasses healing touch or bypasses diagnostic touch. So it's not a healing touch, it's not a diagnostic touch, it's really a curious touch.
Mm. 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 So we also move through touching skin, touching bones, and with bones, landing on bones, searching for bones, also getting specific with the partner. And exploring how the body moved, how those bones moved, feeling into the weight of the bones and the body, and then moving also into touching organs we explored with the partner.
Yeah.
So would you like to explore some of that together?
Yeah. Are we going to shortcut straight to the organs and bones? Is that what we're doing?
Hmm.
Yeah.
We could start also with skin.
Yeah.
Maybe touching skin.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I touch your skin?
Yeah, so I'm going to receive skin touch, so you can close your eyes.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll just check in, is there anywhere on the body that you don't want to be touched?
No, I got that weird wasp bite, so no wrist, it's still a little sensitive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just a side note for our listeners, all of these exercises we've been trying out so many different ways of building trust and finding consent, which is so important when you're engaging in touch experimentation with other bodies, other bodies actively exploring you and vice versa. So thanks for checking in.
Yeah, we've been exploring how to say yes, no, more of, less of, so verbally giving that consent, and also maybe gesture and or the possibility to step out or to step in to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and nonverbal consent giving, we've experimented with using. It was in the second week we started using things like, when we're doing eyes closed touch explorations to indicate, yes, I want that.
We also explored shaking a body part if you want that to, if you don't want touch on a certain area of the body to shake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I really enjoyed the the sort of animal hissing to indicate no.
Yeah.
That's not right. So we've been using verbal, nonverbal, sound, gesture.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So for going back to the touching we're doing now, just this wrist area.
Okay. I'm just going to explore the skin surface and also this cellular touch that we experienced in the workshop with Olive and Otto, and a little bit in a warm-up that I also facilitated with the friction, but that's a slightly different quality. So just moving along the hand, along the arm, a little bit on the upper back, across the chest.
Feels really good to be touched.
Mm. Maybe down the other arm.
Yeah, because it feels like you're acquainting yourself with this surface.
Moving down the leg. Maybe coming into the bone touch. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I welcome that.
So landing on the bones, exploring the bones, this curiosity. And I suppose this touch is a little bit deeper, a bit more weighted.
Yeah. There's more pressure to it. And it's a different curiosity. It's less of an introduction, more of a curious pressing.
Mm. And there's this kind of curiosity of what also the function is somehow of the body.
the fingers, the mobility possibilities there.
And so if you're doing this on your own, after you've warmed up your skin, maybe starting to press into different joints and explore what that form is and how it feels to encounter those joints, those bones, where you can find the bone. Like on the skull, even the forehead, how close that is to the surface.
And how they're connected as well, the spine. The hips.
And when we did this, the person receiving these touches, although we've discussed this so much that touch is always giving, you're always in relation, you're always in contact, but the person receiving these touches or is laying down and the other person is sitting up.
And it reminds me a little bit of the compression touch, actually, that we explored in a session with Sally Dean. And this idea of compressing, using both hands and thinking of pressing in to the body. Maybe we can move into that now. It feels like a nice transition.
Would you like to transition and I do the compression touch on you?
Great.
Anything to know? Anything to avoid or welcome?
Just the right foot, to not press into the right foot, but otherwise.
Do you want me to press into your leg and just not bear weight down or avoid the right leg totally?
Press into the right leg, but just not into the foot directly.
Not into the foot, so more than upwards. Okay. I'm going to start with the compression touch, and we were encouraged to did we start at the head or the shoulders?
We started at the head, yeah.
So if you're alone trying this out, you can start by just placing your hands around your skull and gently pressing, not too hard, feeling sort of like a, it doesn't move very much, it's a gentle squeeze with a slight upward movement. Is that right, Annie?
And I think there was this idea of the direction of touch, kind of coming into the center in a way, the hands towards each other.
Yeah, there's a fairly precise entry point I feel like we gained, which makes me think of, you know, some others were talking about this today, feeling like an increased skill or vocabulary around touches we've gained. I'm now going to put my hand on your forehead and the back of your skull, kind of gently compress there.
Yeah, it's very grounding and calming as I receive this touch. That was something we spoke about as well, how this compression touch calms the nervous system and has a way of almost grounding us back in the body when there's a lot going on around us, or maybe we find ourselves in a kind of anxious state, can be really supportive touch.
Bring us back into, really back into the body. I'm going to do it on your shoulder. Gently squeezing in, slightly lifting up, holding it there. Kind of attuning to each other's breath, and then softly letting go. I'm going to slowly travel down your arm and do this again. And I'm also trying to sense the way you welcome it, how your body responds to this compression. I'm going to move my arms around and try different angles of the compression. And I still have two hands on both sides of your arm, slightly easing the weight that your arm has given to your shoulders. moving down to your elbow. Moving further down your forearm. Just allowing yourself to be held and compressed. Do it at the edge of your hand and your wrist. Kind of softly letting go each time, so it's nothing too abrupt. Shall I try the other arm?
It's very nice.
Yeah. Do the other shoulder. Starting with the shoulder. One hand on each side of the shoulder. Pressing inwards and slightly upwards. Then gently letting go. Pressing inwards, compressing, moving down to the elbow, trying out different angles of the hand that's compressing the arm. Yeah, when I was doing this, I felt there's such a security in receiving touch with pressure. There's a confidence and assurance. When I was doing it with my partner, we were talking about this control you let go of. Moving down to your wrist.
And you really feel the difference when you've had that on one side of the body, and you can kind of compare, and there is a sense of, I experienced a sense of letting go, releasing this heaviness, and a sense of just dropping into the body.
And then we finish the arm.
Nice. Thank you. Where did we move to next?
Maybe to share with listeners that this workshop that Sally Dean, it's pretty fresh because it just happened yesterday, that introduced that we were introduced to comes from her practice of somatic costuming. And that same day, Hannah Barfid, who collaborates with Liv Kristen Holmberg, it was really funny the kind of overlaps and synergies that I felt, but also introduced their practice of touch theater, touch performance, where they activated an experience in a state with and for the audience through these wearable artifacts that were about reducing vision and enhancing sort of sensation.
And it was something that came from the somatic costume. For me was also this, how it's very much influencing then how you move and how you experience your body inside this piece, inside this wearable costume, and the different movement languages that arose out of that, how you can also make contact and touch that costume itself, and also the space between you and the costume.
Because it's a very different, for me, it's a very different experience generating movement that initiates from the sensation, the touch experience. And there were two materials we were introduced to in Sally E. Dean's workshop. One was this firmer, less flexible fabric. We sort of bound our abdomen area, and then there was this really elastic, stretchy, giant tube. The tube, I was telling you, I could have spent like hours, like a whole day in the tube, where you're sort of, your whole body is engulfed in this meshy fabric, and it almost allows you to start imagining and playing with becoming other. Not having to perform a certain kind of social human. And just the play of the affordance and the give of the material, where it allowed, there's like really fun counterweight play that I was trying, and I think I noticed other bodies trying.
Yeah, there was this moment with the fabric around the waist, also this process of unraveling it, and something about reimagining that sensation then out of it, kind of this gradual transition out of that, and how, and keeping the memory of that in the body, and how that moved. It was very interesting to explore.
So maybe if you're listening, just as a quick micro experiment, if you could grab a piece of fabric, or maybe it's a piece of textile, could be a cushion. It could be something you're wearing that you start paying attention to in terms of how it holds and contacts your body. Just start to slowly move around with this material and explore what it does for your movement.
How does it feel to wear it as well? Kind of taking the focus there rather than what it looks like. So spending that time thinking about how it feels to be inside that fabric, clothing. And how does that also maybe trigger a certain way of moving?
Yeah, I'm also connecting it to Luanda Carneiro Jacuel's performative talk. Luanda gave a wonderful performative talk last week where they were introducing their practice of activating ancestry and ancestral memory through the body. And I was really struck by Luanda's usage of these skirts and these fabrics, which she would install in a space but also wear during these folkloric and contemporary movements. And it made me want to bring into my life more repetitive, private, sort of repetitive movements for myself, like the spinning or the just shaking of the foot, as a way to kind of channel some kind of memory or inventive memory. So I kind of want to try spinning if it's not too loud for the room. Now we're trying to be a little quiet. But would you like to try spinning with me? Let's try a little spinning, and I invite the listeners to try. If you feel safe, if there's somewhere you can stand up and take a breath, maybe connect your feet to the ground, and we're just going to try spinning for a few minutes, or let's say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. Start off slow, and then we can... Oh, got that thing next to my head. Okay. Maybe there's a way to invite the listeners, even after listening to this, to invent some kind of repetitive play that activates their kinetics, their proprioception, their skin, their muscles.
Yeah, being in the body, giving that time for a real physical connection to the body.
I feel like there's so many different, there's just this huge list of different tools and modalities and approaches that we could be dipping into, and I think these were just a few, but maybe one final offering I'm really interested in sharing with the listeners, we were talking about this with each other, is that the things we just shared, quite a few of them are coming from somatic discourse and somatic practice, and I love Yeah, our first workshop was with Olive Bieringa and Otto Ramstad, and I love that definition of somatics as the capacity to build agency, to be in the world,
yeah,
to build that sort of self knowledge as a way to be in relation to others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's felt like an underlying experience of how am I me as a way of being a we,
mm-hmm,
you know, the I and the we.
The I and the we, yeah, absolutely.
So thank you for allowing us listeners to I and we together a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. As always, more information can be found on our website, praxisoslo.org. This is a Praxis podcast.